God. We praise God for all of you that are joining us. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. This present truth is on the air. Let's pray together. Father, how we thank and bless you for bringing us together today. We thank you, Lord God, that as we open the Word of God, that you will help us by giving us insight. We trust you for an unction and, Lord, an utterance that only you can give. Please, Holy Spirit, open the scriptures to us. Let us hear the today's voice, what the Lord is speaking to our hearts today that is relevant to whatever we face. Thank you, precious Lord, for helping us. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. We want to thank God for all of you that have joined us. Would you get your devices or open your Bibles with me to John's Gospel chapter 12. John's Gospel chapter 12. I'd like to read a verse starting at verse 23. Jesus is about to have a conversation with these Jews that were seeking him. Certain Jews that were seeking him that came up to the feast to worship. Verse 23, I'm reading out of the King James Version, John 12, starting at verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." Verse 28, "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth." We'll stop here at verse 36. "While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them." I just want to stop here long enough to highlight a couple of things that the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing out and emphasizing amongst these Greeks that have come to see him. They connected with Philip because Philip was from the same regional area that these Greeks were from as it relates to Bethsaida of Galilee. And they came to him, Philip, these Greeks, and said, "We want to see Jesus." Philip went to Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And when Jesus answered them saying, now notice, they came to see the Lord Jesus Christ. We would see Jesus. Jesus answered them in verse 23 and said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." What provoked this dialogue between these Greeks and Jesus' response to them about a corn of wheat falling to the ground and dying? these Greeks were seeking the Lord. They were wanting to know more about his life and more about what he was in the earth to do. And Jesus comes and begins to give this window to look through concerning his own life. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He's describing his life with his impending death, burial, and resurrection. And that manifestation, the Greeks need to understand and see. Jesus answered them and saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. That his death, burial, and resurrection was a manifestation of God the Father being glorified in the Son. Jesus gave this discourse by saying his life was a corn of wheat that needed to be buried and die. It needed to fall into the ground and die. He said, if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. Then from verse 25 on down, he's using this analogy to point to how the Father is glorifying him by his death on the cross. We see it again as Jesus finishes this discourse. And then in verse 28, he says, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven and said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now, what we're seeing in this passage, brothers and sisters, is that Jesus' life brought glory to the Father. The fact that Jesus was being exalted was pointing to a glory that could only be received by the God of heaven. He was receiving glory by what he was doing through the Son, who in this case is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was a pattern that was being established in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he rose from the dead and began to release this life to his disciples, it's the same pattern that's being fulfilled. The Father is being glorified through the life of those that Christ is operating through. So again, he says, Father, glorify thy name. And the voice came back and says, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. How? How was he being glorified? Through his death. He was being lifted up through his death, and that death was glorifying the Father. And the Greeks and the Jews didn't understand it, so he had to put it in a capsule and say, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So he was the corn of wheat that fell into the ground and died. And because he died, now the glorifying work of that fruit is glorifying the Father through the fruit of those that are coming through Jesus being planted in the earth. These are disciples. These are those that have left all to follow him because Jesus laid his life down so that the Father could be glorified. The Father receiving glory is based on Jesus laying down his life for the sins of the world. We know that he gave his life to be a ransom for many. Brothers and sisters, I wonder today, as we're looking at this as a pattern, how many of us have laid down our lives so that the Father can be glorified through us? That if Jesus is the replacement son and the pattern for each one of us to follow, then our life is to glorify the Father just like it was with Jesus. Father, glorify thy name. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. How, Lord? Through your death. that every time we die to self, every time we die to the world system, die to this life, it's releasing a glory that can only go to the Father, upon whom we have laid our lives down for. This is what I see in this passage, that after Jesus made that statement, Father, glorify thy name, the Father responds with a voice by saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Verse 29, the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Notice now, Jesus is about to explain the voice. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. Father, glorify thy name. I did that, but I'm going to do it again. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. So notice, this voice that was from the Father that people said it thundered, they heard it thunder, they thought an angel had spoke, was the Father confirming in Jesus that he was being glorified. How? Jesus was still living. He was going to be glorified even to a greater degree after he died. I want you to see this, that this voice didn't come from me, but for your sakes. Verse 31, don't miss this. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Now, how many times, brothers and sisters, and I'm guilty of this too, that we say, lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. For if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto himself. Lift up the name, lift it up, lift him up. And yet the context is not equal to what's being brought out here. The content is different. Jesus is saying, he's going to be lifted up because the cross has the power to draw. He says the Father is going to glorify his name. And he told the disciples, this voice didn't come for me. It came for your sakes. Why? Because God is about to deal with darkness. He's about to deal with the enemy of the souls of men. Notice, now is the judgment of this world. When, Lord? Right now. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. How is this going to happen? I'm about to be lifted up on the cross. Not to be praised and worshiped, even though it's in line, because I'm being lifted up. But the purpose of it is the drawing effect of what happens after I die. That is going to glorify the Father. It sounds kind of confusing, brothers and sisters, but what I want you to know is that what God was doing in Christ was reconciling the world unto himself. And we see that clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me just read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you know the infamous 17th verse, but I want to read down to verse 19. I'll start at verse 19. And it starts with, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So what was the Father doing through Jesus? Preparing to reconcile the entire world through the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus bringing glory to his name. Father, glorify thy name. I have, and I'm about to do it again. How are you going to do that? I'm going to die on the cross. And after that death, I will be lifted up in order to draw men unto me on the cross, not through praise and worship, not through men and women of God that we're honoring and esteeming. No, he says, He says, I'm going to be lifted up from the earth, and I'm going to draw all men unto me. Now, if you go back to John's Gospel chapter 12, this is mentioned before, but I just want you to see, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me, verse 33, this he said, signifying what death he should die. What death was that? The death on the cross. The death on the cross was going to have a future effect on the lives of men. What was it going to be able to do, Pastor Mark? Draw them to Jesus. That the cross and Jesus dying on it was going to have the power to draw men out of darkness into the marvelous light. The cross, brothers and sisters, is the point of emphasis that we want to make today. It's the cross. The cross is something that people wear around their neck, something that people have tattooed on their bodies. And yet, we know very little of its power and its effect on human life. Jesus, being a full-blown manifestation of what a death on the cross was going to produce, was showing us that his death glorified the Father. The Father had given a vocal expression. This was the third expression that the Father had given while the Lord Jesus Christ was on the earth. We know of three distinct times the Father spoke something to Jesus and everybody around him heard it. First, it was when he came and lowered himself to be baptized by John. We know that as he was lowered, the Bible says straightway he came up out of the water and lo, a voice from heaven came and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. We know that that was a manifestation. Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. Verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That voice validated the lordship of Jesus and opened the heavens over his life. His descent into Jordan and being baptized, being lowered by John, released a confirmation by the Father that this is my son and I'm pleased. Then in that same Matthew, if you go to the 17th chapter, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up into a high mountain, and there he was transfigured before them. And then, behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him. And we know Peter gave this satanic suggestion, let's build three tabernacles. And verse 5 says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowing them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The Father once again validates, this is the Son, I'm pleased, but now it's time to hear him. Now, more time has transpired. By the time we get to John 12, the Greeks are saying, we want to see Jesus, we want to see Jesus. That's when he broke out, saying, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He's sharing the commitment of those that are willing to lay down their lives. He that loveth this life, verse 25, shall lose it. He that hateth this life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, that where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him the Father will honor. So we see this commitment that's required because a corn of wheat has fallen into the ground and died. So as we come over, Jesus is saying, Father, be glorified. Father, glorify thyself. Glorify thy name. He said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. How was his name glorified? Through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, willingly sacrificed and raised from the dead, and then glorifying it again through the replacement sons following the same pattern. Notice, he says, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Then, brothers and sisters, in closing, he deals with the issue at hand and what a manifestation of God's power through him dying on the cross is actually going to bring forth. Judgment on the world system. Why is that, Pastor? Because the world system doesn't believe in Jesus. They believe in all kind of crazy stuff. But what I want you to see here in closing is that what the Father was doing in the death of Jesus was a number of things. One, glorifying himself. Two, dealing with the world system, rejecting the Son. Judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So God is dealing with the world system and the prince that's running the world system. There's only one other enemy that's going to need to be dealt with in order for the complete purpose of God to be manifested through Jesus. And that is through these that are following him now, carrying his life. The judgment the world is dealt with through the cross. Jesus being lifted up. Then the enemy being dealt with. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. We see that he was dealt with in John's gospel, the same John. John chapter 14, verse 30. Jesus is making this statement about him having dealt with the enemy. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. This is verse 30 of the 14th chapter. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from hence. So judgment was coming on the world system, and the Lord Jesus Christ was dealing with the enemy who was the prince of this world. Jesus says, he has nothing in me. So now if you go back to this chapter that we were looking at here, I want us to look back in the 8th chapter, and I want to close. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Listen. But shall have the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. I want to just stop here and say, brothers and sisters, that this light of life, Jesus said, has been given to those that follow him. This is connected to him being glorified in and through our lives. That coming to Christ is a response that we made out of a desperation that we have in our hearts for him. And Jesus said, I have come so that when I'm lifted up, the Father will be glorified. I would like to pray today, brothers and sisters. I have a strong sense in my heart that many who are following don't carry the light of light, nor is the Lord being glorified through us dying. As it was with Jesus, So should it be with us. That as these Greeks came saying we would see Jesus, Jesus began to explain the outcome of his life and how the Father was going to be glorified through it. Jesus promised that those who follow him would have that same light of life. I wonder if you carry the life light, my brother, my sister. If you've come into the realization that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried, and on the third day, he was raised from the dead so that you and I could be free from the bondage of sin, from the clutches of the enemy, from the dark world that we were born into. The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us, who hath delivered us from the powers of darkness. Would you like to pray and check your commitment to the one that's bringing glory to the Father? The Father said, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And now, with us who carry the same life light, the Father can be glorified as we lay our lives down to only serve him. Would you like to pray about that today, my brother, my sister? There's so much that we don't understand about the new creation and the life that the Father has given us. We don't investigate to see how our lives personally can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is possible, and in John 12, I close with that final word that Jesus gave. In John 12, he said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. I'm praying, brothers and sisters, and we would understand the death that he died, the death of the cross, the death of a criminal. But he was a sinless lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Have you surrendered your all to the Lord Jesus Christ, my brother, my sister? Have you given in surrender your life to him? In exchange, he gives the light of life. He says, if you follow me, you can't walk in darkness because he will have the light of life. Father, I pray today for each person that's viewing. I pray for those, Lord, who are walking in this understanding that when you were lifted up, you brought glory to the Father. And the voice that even the disciples heard, it was for them so that the Father could do it again through them as they surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus. Thank you for this understanding, Lord. What we see out of this passage is there is a surrender that you require from us, and it is a complete life that is laid down, sacrificially surrendered, just like what the Father required of you. He's requiring of us as well. You said, Father, glorify your name. He said, I have, and I'm going to do it again through these replacement sons that are coming. Thank you, Lord. Use us that your name will be glorified, that your ways and your will be carried out in the earth through each one of us as disciples. Thank you, Father God. We bless you. We thank you for this privilege, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. And amen. Thank God for all of you that are joining us. We'll be back next week for another episode of This Present Truth. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. We'll see you next time. God bless you.